Blog Talk Radio.
Live on the off ramp, February 2nd, 2023. Welcome to Black History Month. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health. Hope you're feeling good. Hope you got good vibes around you, good spirits around you. Hope you're in a good mood. If you're not in a good mood, I hope you get better. Hope everybody's fighting that good mental health fight, keeping their mind, spirit, and soul right. I'm fighting a cold, so please excuse me if you hear me coughing. I'll try to hit the mute button as much as I can. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. It's a show for me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in these streets, see what's going on around the country. Got folks that call in from all different types of states in the U.S., different weather, different vibes. So, you know, feel free to call in, 929-477-3975. You can catch us on all the social medias, Twitter, you know, Instagram, Facebook. We haven't gotten on YouTube yet. We're supposed to be starting this Twitch stream. I was supposed to have been started. I got everything lined up. I just need my baby sister to help walk me through it on how to stream. It's going to be a sad day not to be able to do the show in my underwear. But until that day happens, then, you know, we'll keep rocking on the regular radio station. Again, feel free to call in 929-477-3975. We had the faces, excuse me, the faces and the names of the people to protect them. Don't want nobody to get in trouble at work. And we just rap it, man. We just get together and just talk about life. So call in and let's rap. Different kind of show tonight. DJ C. Siren is in Mexico. Went to her, she got a little, what do you call it, girls trip. Her and her girls flew to Cabo. And we got to talk about just the plane situation nowadays. Because she had a rough trip this morning, man. I'm tired as shit. I had to get up early to take her. Didn't come back, get the kid and all that work. But the cancel on the flights is becoming, that's becoming an epidemic, man. Like, you'll fly on the plane, you'll pay for a ticket, you'll pay $1,000 for a ticket and show up, and they just like, yeah, we ain't going there today, and you just got to eat that. So we'll talk about that. I got my man Blair on the line. Blair, welcome to the off-ramp. How you holding up tonight, my brother?
Oh, man, I'm blessed and highly favored as always, man, living the dream. Thanks for having me on as always. I mean, I know you're going to – how long is she gone? I know you're going to enjoy the bachelor life for a little bit.
You know, it's funny because I was like, oh, she going away for the weekend. I might drop your nephew off to his grandmom's for the weekend, and I'll be done. And I was like, no, I could do so many things now that I'm by myself. You know, I hit up Maryland, go see the homies. I go to Jersey, see the homies. But I'm probably just going to sit here and play video games. Like, guys really don't need much. You know, a nice, relaxing, peaceful weekend is always a must. Like, being able to just not do nothing is such an underrated experience. So I had all these grandiose ideas, you know, I'm gonna run the streets with the homies for a bit. get some ones out the ATM, go support some college tuitions in these streets, support all my sisters that's out there struggling for an education. But 9 times out of 10, I probably ain't going to go nowhere. I'm probably going to sit on the couch. I'm going to call my man New York up. I'm going to see what he's doing. And if he's home, I'll probably be on Call of Duty. And that'd be about it. Like, what would you do if you had, like, no responsibility for a weekend?
I mean, that's not too uncommon for me, so I probably wouldn't have much to do. I'm simple, though, so sleep. I ain't gonna front. Probably just sleep for the first part of it, get my sleep out the way. I might hit up somebody to hang out and do something towards the end, but the first and foremost, I'm just going to sleep. I'm asleep, maybe catch up on a movie or something, a show I ain't seen in a while. Like, if it's the whole weekend, I might spend, so we talking Friday to Monday, I might spend Friday in the crib, Saturday morning in the crib, probably Saturday night in the crib. Now, Sunday come around, I might try to get out and do something, maybe even holler at somebody, get together on Sunday, but that first night, two nights, yeah, I'm just going to sleep and enjoy the time in my drawers by myself in my peace and quiet.
Yeah, see, and I think DJ C-Sire has this wild idea because she was like, so what you going to do while I'm gone? And I was like, I don't know. I might run up to Maryland, might run up to Jersey. I really need to go to Jersey just because I haven't seen my Jersey folks in a while, even less than I've seen my Maryland folks. And she hit me with the, yo, how come every time I go out of town, you got to go out of town? And I was like, because that's the only time I really get to, like, not have any responsibility. Like, when you're in town, like, you know, well, when you're home all the time, you know, she works every other weekend. So on the weekend she's working, I'm taking care of the crib, making sure the kid good, you know, doing all that stuff. When she's off, because she works every other weekend, she wants to do stuff. So I'm pretty much doing whatever she wants to do. This is one of the few times where I get to just do whatever I want. So, like, I won't go up, you know, shout out New York, here on the line. New York, welcome to the offer. Like, I won't go up Maryland, holler at my homies, drink something, smoke something, laugh about the good old days. Again, go do my civic duty and support the education of our young brothers and sisters. Well, really just young sisters. But I'm like, you know, I kind of just want to chill out. It sucks because she's going tonight, but I still got to work tomorrow. I get up, got to get the kid ready, pack the lunch, and then work all day. And then, you know, when I get home after a long day at work, like, I'm with you. I kind of just want to chill out. And that's probably what's going to end up happening. I still might take a quick road trip. But I'm getting over a cold too, so I really don't want to actually get nobody sick. But you know, the days of relaxing are so underrated. Like, to be able to wake up Saturday, you know, I'll see if my baby sister can take my kid to his basketball game. Like, I might wake up at like 8 a.m. and just stay on the video game until about 3 a.m. Like, a good solid 20 hours of just video games. And I think that's a great weekend. Get me a bottle of whiskey and chill out. They got a casino open down here, so I might run over there just to look in there and see what that's about. But that's about it. My man, New York, welcome to the off-ramp, man. You back on. You dropped off for a second, but you back on. Welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. How you doing tonight? New York, you out there?
Hey, look. Yeah. Look, I'm doing good. I can't complain. You know what I mean? Just glad to be back. You know what I mean? Back in the conversation, the rotation, all that.
Okay. Question I pose to Blur. If you had a weekend with no responsibilities, what you doing?
Oh, I'm living it up. I got to live it up. Look. Man, I'll probably be in the house, like you said, probably would play some games, hop on a Call of Duty, might what, Call of Duty for about like a good 2-3 hours. Might go outside, have some fun at a lounge. Might do like stand on some couches at a lounge where the hookah is at, the food is at, something like that. Probably like for the whole weekend, for real. Probably for like the whole weekend. I'll probably go out Friday night, Saturday night. You know what I mean? Sunday. Sunday, that's like a chill day. That's a Lord's day. So I'll probably be in the house. Figure they'll be watching some TV, cleaning. I might make me some sauces, egg and cheese type shit. But, yeah, definitely for the Friday and the Saturday, if I had a free weekend like that, oh, most definitely. I'm out. Audi 5,000.
You know, it's funny how you bring up the food, because I thought about it, like, what am I going to make? And I was like, yeah, French toast. But then part of me was like, nah, I'm probably just going to order. Like, I'll probably get a bowl of cereal, and then I'll just get, like, chicken nuggets for the weekend. But, like, I feel you, like, part of me says, yo, I'm out in these streets, yo, same thing. Let me hit the club up. I ain't been to a club in a minute. Let me hit the bar scene. He was popping in these streets, getting my face back out there with the people. Let me touch the people. You know what I mean? But part of me just wants to do absolutely nothing, yeah. Absolutely fucking nothing. Like, I want to go for, like, a walk.
Hey, look, you save more money that way, staying in the crib. I mean, unless you order a food. Look, you got the free weekend. Ordering food is, like, kind of, like, right damn near the next thing you would do. But, like, yeah, staying in the crib, yeah, can't beat that. It's saving money.
Okay. Well, right, so I guess we, yeah, I don't know. I have to figure it out. So Blur wants to chill. New York wants to sit on the couches. And I'm kind of in between, man. But I might hit you up, because I might take that ride up 95 if he was popping up north for a night. And, so I'll let you know if I come up. But other than that, man, we can get right into it. Big news of the weekend. Them Eagles spanked the shit out of them 49ers. Blowout. Another blowout on the resume for the Philadelphia Eagles. Headed to the Super Bowl. Big win against a real good team. But, you know, they just injury bug, man. You know, you go against the number two defense in the league, man, you can't go out there with no backups, man. And my boys knocked out 49ers on the road to the second Super Bowl in 5 years, playing against the Chiefs. Chiefs knocked out the Bengals in a highly contested game with a lot of stuff with the refs going on. The refs were, I will say, I try to be objective. Philadelphia Eagles fan, but I played sports, man. I played football in college. Like, as big of a fan as I am, I kind of just enjoy the sport. The refs were a factor in both games, not as much as the Eagles 49ers, only because, I mean, a lot of calls went against the 49ers, to be honest. Especially a lot of big ones, a lot of defensive holdings. But, I mean, they look like good calls. 49ers played physical, so I don't know if that was like a call somebody put in the ref's ear, like, hey, we saw this on film. They do a lot of holding, so look out for it. And it was just a bad day that they just got caught a lot. But I didn't watch the 49ers as much as you, so I don't know if they're just that physical or if they've been called that a lot or if it was just a tough day for them. But the Kansas City Bengals game is crazy. But, I mean, we'll take it one game at a time. New York, I'm going to start with you. Just because I know Blur's a 49ers fan, so he's going to give them a bunch of excuses. So, New York, did you watch any football this weekend, yo, or was you out in the street? Because I'm always amazed at people who don't watch sports.
No, I watched it. I watched the Eagles game and the other game, too. Yeah. I already seen what the Eagles did. I can't remember the other two teams I was playing. But, yeah, I watched it the whole day on Sunday. What was it, Sunday? I think it was Sunday.
Yeah, it was Sunday. It was Kansas City and the other game.
Yeah, I watched it. And then, in the other game, what was it? The other game was close. It was tied. But then what, it came down to that point where I think they was already in field goal range, but somebody pushed the quarterback or somebody out of balance that got, like, a foul or something like that?
Yeah, they was close to field goal range. They wasn't – they were, like, right on the edge where it would have been a tough kick. And as Patrick Mahomes was going out of bounds, one of the Bengals players pushed him and got an extra 15 yards and damn near made it automatic. And that's how they end up winning.
Yeah.
It was a wild end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I watched both of them.
So who's your pick for the Super Bowl? Who do you think wins, Eagles or the Chiefs?
I really don't want to go with the Eagles because they didn't beat the Giants bad, for real. They beat the Giants bad, bro. Like, I feel some type of way, for real. Like, not even going to hold you.
One of the three losses that y'all got was close. Just the other two were blowouts.
But look. Eagles are still close to home. I'm gonna go with the Eagles.
My man, I like that here. Clap that man out. My man, New York, New York, keeping in the NFC East. I like it. I appreciate your support. Blur, how'd you feel when your 49ers got spanked, man?
I felt confident, man. I ain't gonna front. I'm not gonna make no excuses. It is what it is, but. We had a one-dimensional offense, like George Kittle said. I mean, we lost when we couldn't throw any passes. We had a quarter. We had quarterbacks who could not throw. Not couldn't throw like Cam Newton with New England or, I don't know, anybody, like physically could not throw. So, I mean, when you have an already good team, I never said the Eagles were a bad team, but you already have a good team, and then you take away half of your capability, it's just like, you really have no options. You have no – like, you can't beat a bad team doing just one thing. You at least have to have the threat of another option. Like, when you think about when New England beat whoever they beat and they think they threw, like, two passes the entire game, even then they had the threat of throwing. And they still only lost because I forget when they were playing, missed the field goal. So, I mean, they still only won because whoever they playing missed the field goal. So, you got a four-string quarterback – fifth string quarterback, really, if you count Purdy coming back in, but I mean, can't really do anything. Coming back in, I mean, nah, it's like I'm confident because I know. Well, I'm not going to say no because you never know how things would have played out, but I really believe, considering how the game turned out, that if we had kept our third string quarterback healthy, then we win that game. But you know, things happen. Injuries are a part of the game. No, I believe we win that game. I mean, I'm saying the Eagles are good, but let's not act like it was a blowout from the beginning. Because for the very first half of the game, maybe, it wasn't a blowout where it really should have been, could have been. It didn't get out of hand until about the third quarter. And I think if we have our third-string quarterback in there and able to throw, or even if we have our fourth-string quarterback in there who can actually throw, I think we keep it close. And we might even pull out a win.
I mean, look. I mean, at the end of the half, it was 21-7. But your quarterback got hurt on the first drive. And, you know, man, like, I'm not here to mess with you too much because, you know, that sucks. But, you know, your defense did give up 31. It's not like we scored a bunch of touchdowns with y'all throwing interceptions.
All right, so let me jump in real quick. Yeah, our defense gave up 31. They did. But, damn, I can't think of Popovich has this term. I swear I would never forget it. It's like the beginning of a cycle of something. Like you have like a circular motion, but it begins somewhere. It's a phrase for it. I forgot what it's called. If we keep giving you guys short fields and we can't put together any type of drive, like if we keep going three and out and giving you guys short fields, then, yeah. And then we got the – now, you said 21-7. Was it 7? It might have been 7. Whatever it was. Your first three touchdowns – the first three touchdowns – now I was trying to think of what you guys had. I thought it was a field goal in there somewhere. But the first three scores technically shouldn't even have been scores. Now, I'll say technically, but not really
the
technically.
The first
because,
three?
You know, now, let me explain. Because the first one, he didn't catch the ball. It was an incomplete pass on a 4th and 6. If anywhere else, if that's in San Francisco, if that's in a neutral field, the replay runs right away, and we challenge it. Because it's in Philly, they didn't show the replay in the stadium until after the next play was ran.
Well, it's not the stadium. It's in New York.
But, no, I'm talking about for the challenge flag to be thrown. And New York doesn't automatically challenge it. Not on that play. So, for
no,
us, for...
Well, I mean, I do wonder how that works. Hey, I got my man M-Extra on the line now. M-Extra, we talking Giants, we talking Niners, Eagles. I almost you in here all the time.
I heard you.
We're having a nice regular conversation. M-Extra was hot with me on Sunday.
No, I wasn't.
But
I was joking on
but,
you,
man,
but I'll jump in. I'll jump in, Blur, because I agree with you, though. I agree with you, Blur. I think that I don't want to blame the Eagles for that. I think Kyle Shanahan said that we had three timeouts. I think he should have burned one to give us extra time to look at a play for that being that significant in the game. I would have called the timeout to give him extra time to get that replay in because he knows. Because as soon as Whitney got up, Smith got up, he started to talk. They rushed to the line. So as soon as you know somebody rushing to the line, and you know that's a critical call, well, call the timeout. Call the timeout.
Well, let me ask you
down,
this.
Because they're going to play right
that.
Back.
Can you challenge a play after calling the timeout? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I know, like,
yeah.
In Madden,
yeah,
you
because,
can't.
Because in that situation, you want to call a timeout because at that time, then you get all the replays, right? Because you get all the replays because now they're showing all the replays. On the refs don't have the replays. That's what, you know, Beach Bum was talking about. New York has it, and they would have called New York to kind of go through all the angles, but it would have gave us time to see those same damn angles to make
it.
See,
the only reason I have a question, the only reason I would say that, I mean, I still think Philly should have played the replay faster in the stadium, and yeah, Shanahan probably should have challenged it just off of GP. I don't know about burning two timeouts, though. Now, say two because what if you're wrong and then you don't call a timeout, you get it wrong, and you just lose the timeout on the first drive of the first quarter?
Well, if you call a timeout, somebody looks at the play and they tell you. It was easy to see.
Right.
But you never really know. It has to be overwhelming evidence or whatever, so you still
nah,
a chance you might
nah,
lose
bro.
It.
That's, nah, he would have saw that. He would have saw that jump, that ball hit the ground. He would have saw that play.
Yeah,
he would have saw that replay. Yeah, he would have saw it. He would have saw that. And now my only other thing is to because everybody, and now, you know, it's funny how, because I wasn't even mad that we lost. I wasn't mad because at that point it was like an insurmountable task to play, you know what I mean, like a four-string quarterback in an NFC championship game thinking we were going to win. I was more mad the fact that I wanted to see a good game. And I was also mad after the game because now you got all these damn cowgirl fans out here just talking shit like last week was or the 2 weeks ago was a fluke somehow, like, you know what I mean, like it, that shit pissed me off more than just the Eagles fans, like or just the loss in general, you know what I'm saying, like, because everybody now wants to be this like critic of the 49ers defense or the number one defense as if, you know what I mean? You take any number one defense. I don't care if it's the Ravens 2000 defense, and you put them in, like you said, Blur, three short fields against a legit number one offense, they're going to score points. They're going to score points. And remember, we got a fumble. So you challenge the first TD. That's a turnover on downs. We don't know what happens after that, but whatever. It's been a turnover on downs, and so you don't – put up
they don't score a couple plays later. I know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't score, exactly. So you take
that's
that one
true.
Off the board, right? Then you got the fumble that happened. Remember, Josh Johnson fumbled, right? It was a fumble that happened, and that cost the second TD. And then they went down and scored that final TD. So it was 21 points, but it was off a turnover. It was off a turnover. But the
no,
third
that
one,
was
a, whatever.
That was,
either way.
That was the third. The second TD, we drove from our own nine. Like, that was just a good drive by us.
That was a good drive, right. So I knew it was one of the drives. That's why I thought it was the third one. That was the good drive. But I'm just saying, that drive, and then we drove. So it would have been a 7-7 game, theoretically, which we would have saw and we'd appreciate it, right, because it would have been a legit 7-7 game. going into halftime, which everybody been like, yo, this is going to be a great game going forward, great finish. And that's what I wanted, right? That's what I wanted to see. But at the end of the day, you can't make excuses. The Eagles knocked our quarterback out. That's part of the game. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, Josh Johnson, he needs to retire because 10 years in the game, you don't think that you're supposed to be ready to show up to play football? There should be no reason why you out here missing reads. You out here acting like you can't throw the ball. You're like, you missing the fumble. Remember, he fumbled the snap, bro. Come on, man. Like, yo, you fumbling
the snaps.
I gotta give him a pass. I can't give him a pass. I would give him a pass if he was a third-string quarterback and all of a sudden we lost out two. Then I'll give you a pass. But, bro, you came into that game as the backup quarterback. That means you need to make sure that you're ready just in case anything happens. Anything.
See, this is where
and
I put
Brock
the blame
Purdy,
on Kyle Pitts.
Hold on. But Brock Purdy was also came into that game hurt. He got hurt in Dallas. So, therefore, Josh, you got to know that you could be at any point in time seeing the field. And that can't be on Kyle Shanahan. That's you as a backup, bro. He played
No, this is why I'm on Shanahan. Because they said they only had two quarterbacks on the roster. That means he's been running scout team, preparing the defense all week. So, yeah, could he have put in extra time? But he was already brought in and late in the season, and now he's running scout team going into the championship game. So now he has to run scout team and prepare like he might have to fill in. Should they have brought in another quarterback to our scout team? Possibly.
Isn't that what Brock Purdy did? Purdy was a scout team quarterback. When he came in, he was a scout team quarterback. Now I'm going to take over the conversation. Like I said, I think everything is a good game. But I think back to my point about the defense and what you're trying to say, we gave up 31 points. You put any number one defense in those set in that same scenario, they're giving up the same amount of points. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Y'all got short fields. We couldn't throw the ball. So basically, we was out here running, putting. Y'all were out here 11 in a box because we couldn't pass the ball. Like, you can't really think that all of a sudden 31 points with a tired-ass defense is a representative of that defense. Like, I mean, that's not – you're just not even on football right now. You just don't want to believe that's possible. But you put – a defense back-to-back series, three and outs against a team that's a legit team, not just some scrub team, getting put with a great O-line too. Come on, yo. Like, you can't think that a defense is going to hold up for the whole two quarters in those kind of circumstances. Like, it's
Fatigue just set in. You can see it.
Exactly. So that's not representative of no number one defense. That's no representative of who the Niners were on defense, because if it was a legit game where you had an actual quarterback that can actually throw the ball, push the ball down the field, or extend a drive past three and outs or whatever, it would have been a totally different defense. That's all I'm saying. So it's not a representative about, well, the Niners defense was some trash. They are who we thought they were. Come on, bro. That's not. Now you're just shitting on the whole NFL at that point. Right? You're shitting on the whole NFL at that point.
No one said that.
No, not you on this call, but I'm talking about other people.
Well, you said, come on, bro. I thought you were talking to me. My bad. But you're talking to me.
Yeah, because that's what people are saying on the, like, you know what I mean, on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, I stay off of that thing. Weezy, you on the line, man. Welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Long-time listener, first-time caller. What you got for me? What's the topic of the night, if you don't mind me asking? Sounds
right
like the 49ers losing.
Yeah, we talking about the Eagles 49ers.
So it's just like I said, the Niners lost that game. I don't think the Eagles won. You can't win it. You can barely win a game with your second-string quarterback. You damn sure can't with your third/second who comes in hurt. We'll see what's up next week when you've got a fully healthy Mahomes. Don't let this make it seem like I'm hating on the Eagles. I'm just being logical right now. Go ahead.
I mean, we'll get to the Eagles Chiefs matchup come up. But I wanted to finish the Eagles Niners conversation. Look, I'm not here to mess with y'all. I mess with y'all enough.
I can recognize that it was just a tough game to go. I still think we were the better team, but a reflection of – was that the honest reflection of the 49ers after Purdy goes down? Because even though Purdy's the – in hindsight, he's really the third-string quarterback. Then no. Yeah, because, I mean, even if you look at the second half, we knew y'all couldn't throw the ball. And I give Nick Sirianni credit. Only one drive, he still tried to throw the ball. And, like, we just tried to run the ball because it was a wrap. You know what I mean? Like, you just took away. Once Josh Johnson got caught a concussion, that's crazy, too. Like, to have four quarterbacks get injured, and I feel bad for Purdy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, real talk. Like, he came in, what do you win, 9 straight, 10 straight? You know, he's the last pick in the NFL draft. The hell of a story. And then on the last game of his season, he tears – I didn't even know. There was like a – what did he tear? His UCL in his arm? In his throwing arm? Like, that sucks.
Yeah, UCL. Usually that's a trigger to pitchers. Yeah, that's like Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. But also, if I could cut in, sorry to interrupt, but I don't – speaking as a former wide receiver – I don't care who's playing quarterback. You've got to have some pass plays you can do. You telling me he can't throw the 90, you know, just slant fade? You've got to be able to call some pass plays. A drag across the middle.
Did you watch the game? Josh Johnson couldn't read. He couldn't get past his first read. The Bama looked like he just woke up.
That's what I mean. Don't read. Just say, hey, you're going to throw the ball to – what's one of your wide receiver names? IU.
Bo, IU,
yeah, okay.
Kittle.
So look,
like, the Bama got
okay,
weapons.
So,
like, he couldn't.
So right here. So just say, okay, this play is for IU. He's either going to run a slant or a fade. Throw the ball that way. I don't care if it's double, triple coverage. Just throw it up. Don't make that man read if he can't do it.
But Brandon, yo, this is a 10-year veteran, yo. Why y'all giving Josh Johnson this pass, yo? Everybody, when I said it, they was like, yo, you being harsh. This Bama is a 10-year veteran.
Yeah, you've been veteran very, very liberally.
So
he ain't been.
But he got time on the field. He even played with us a couple years ago when Garoppolo got hurt. He played a couple times under Shaquille Shanahan.
With his paycheck.
He's been in the system. Huh?
What are they paying him?
I don't give a shit. He's on an NFL team. And you're playing in an NFL championship. And you've been in a system before. And then you're a journeyman. We bring you back. You know what I'm saying? Because you was on like somebody's practice squad. So then we signed you. But, yo, you was with us for 3 weeks. I need a better performance from you, bro. I don't give a shit whether you scout team or not. I need you to be able to get to your second read. I need you to at least be able to run. You can run the ball. I would appreciate him just taking off because the defense was real. I mean, the Eagles' pass rush is real. So sitting back like a duck, and then you throw a ball, just take off. I would have appreciated that.
Yep.
I mean, just start playing style football out there.
That's a tough ask. I mean, and I know the Niners were the number one defense. I put a little asterisk next to it because they played in the NFC West. But the two best defenses in the NFL were on the field Sunday. Like, you're asking a four-string quarterback to – you're talking about just throw a slant? Like, my defense is too good for that. Like, you're going to have to come up, which Shanahan is great at if his team is healthy. Like, you're going to have to come up with creative plays against my defense because I honestly feel like it's the best defense in the league. We don't have a weakness, especially when Maddox came back, our starting safeties. Like, our number two corner is a number one pretty much anywhere else. You know, the two best defenses in the league by far were on the field Sunday, and to put a four-string quarterback against that is a tough ass. He got knocked out. Like, he caught a concussion.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I know. I agree with that. That's what I said. Bro, if you can't get past your second read, then start running around and shit. So I just taking off. Because that's how you break that whole pass rush shit. You start taking off. Now they can't just get all the way up the field. No, I would have rather him just start taking off. Just Mike Vicking it out there. Because, you know what I mean? Be the black quarterback, yo. Black quarterback athlete, yo. You out here side. You was just like a sitting duck, yo. Like, I mean, shit, if you weren't going to get past your first read, look, one and gun. I don't see that fan. Yeah, they got good corners. Boom, then I'm gone. I would rather that. Because what that would have did was, now we're going to scramble drill. And, Brandon, you can appreciate that. Ain't no corner. I don't give a shit how good your corners are. They ain't good. You will X them out if you start doing that scramble drill shit because they can't cover for more than 3 seconds.
I'll leave it at this. Like I said, as a former wide receiver, put the ball up to me. Give me a chance. Let me know it's coming to me and let the ball go to my side, and I'll do my best to get there. And if I do, I might break one. I mean, hell, you're talking to the fourth quarter king over here.
Yo, why you sound so muffled all of a sudden? Where the, are you talking? Did somebody kidnap you? All right, well, I mean, that's all I got from the Eagles 49ers. I'm not trying to poke the bear or nothing. I kind of felt bad for the four. I think we were all expecting a great game. Of course, being an Eagles fan, I'm happy that we won. I'm happy that we're going to the Super Bowl. But as a football fan, I recognize that once Purdy got hurt, that's like the last straw. Like, they were already down to Purdy. Like, I'm interested to see how the 49ers look with – well, that's a good question. Let me ask you, 49ers fans. Who do you want as your starter next year? And I'm extra – well, let me start with Blur. He's been quiet. Blur, who do you want as your starting quarterback next year? Hey, watch y'all background noise, too.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this, and this was kind of before Brady retired. I was hoping. I was like, given how successful the team was this year going through the three quarterbacks, I was like, yo, I think they should go ahead and trade all three quarterbacks. I think you could come out with 5 or 6 picks and bring in Brady, bring in Aaron Rodgers, and draft a rookie. I know it's not likely, but I'm just thinking that, like, I'm like, as successful as they were, clearly it's the system. I mean, Josh Johnson kind of disproved that a little bit, but give him a little time, and then you bring in a veteran who's only going to stick around for maybe a year and see if you can find – they keep saying this is a quarterback-heavy draft.
You giving up on Trey Lance that quick? He only played one game.
Not giving up on him. I'm just thinking about the team-wise. This is his, going into his third year, I guess. So he's not going to have a lot of time on that rookie contract.
Okay. MX, who you want as your quarterback next year?
Yeah, see, that's tough, man, because, you know, with the UCL, that's like they keep saying that he ain't going to be back by not even training camp. It's like 6 months. So who knows what kind of spin he's going to be able to put on the ball. And one thing that I liked about Brock Purdy is, one, that he didn't take a chance. He took chances. Like Brandon was saying, he threw the ball up, right? He gave his receivers chances. And he also used his legs, which is my only knock on Jimmy Garoppolo. Because he's a restricted free agent, so we can't even trade him, Blur. I mean, he can go. Honestly, I think we keep both of them and they just have a competition. I think we do have to give Trey a chance only because we gave up so much for him. And the only other way that we get rid of Trey is if we get the same or at least a one back. Like, I don't – and we're not going to get a one back. So, shit, what do you give? I mean, we gave up two number ones, twos, and threes. I don't know what the hell. You gave up two number ones and a two and a three. Like, what is that? Like, that doesn't even – how do you just part ways with that when you gave up so much? That's why I was not a fan of the trade to begin with. So to me, I think we got to go in there because that's the most logical thing that's going to happen with them, the kind of 1A, 1B. And hopefully Purdy comes back and challenges Trey. But I don't think that we just walk into camp and say, Trey, this is your job either, though, because, you know, I just don't think he's proven anything. And you got somebody who won, you know what I mean, 11 straight. So you can't discount that, you know what I mean, and just all of a sudden say, you know, and we pay him for cheap. I mean, we're paying Purdy nothing right now. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he was the last pick of the draft. So he, I mean, if I'm Purdy, I'm trying to renegotiate my contract. Like if I'm him, right? Like so, but I think that's what it is. I'd love to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's a California guy too, early 49er fan. So why not take a shot with Aaron? But I think if we take a shot with Aaron, then that means we got to try to get rid of Trey. We got to get somebody to give us something, and we keep Purdy as our backup. But I just can't see us keeping Trey on our roster and bringing in a veteran like Aaron Rodgers, knowing that we've wasted all those picks on that guy.
Man, that's shocking to hear.
You don't think we can get two picks out of him?
Hey, hold on, bro. We'll come back to you. Let me just see what everybody else thinks. I know y'all do heavy 49ers talking. I got you. I just want to see what everybody else thinks. Weezy, who do you think the 49ers QB should be next year?
I'll actually say no comment. You can keep on with the same topic, but I just hope our quarterback is actually Huntley. I know Lamar Jackson is leaving, but no comment on the 49ers quarterback. I don't know enough about that team, honestly.
New York, you got any comment on it? I know you usually sit these ones out, but I just don't want to, before I let Blur get back in, I just want to make sure you got something to say. You got the open floor.
Nah, I think I got mad background noise right now, but I'm just listening to y'all talking. Just listening to y'all talking
right now. All right, Blur, what you got? What you going to jump in and say?
No, I'm saying, I know we gave up a lot to get Trey Lance, but you don't think we could get, like, the injury, I guess we got to. I think we can get two picks in the first three rounds for Trey Lance. I was thinking we could probably get two for Trey Lance. I thought these injuries, because if Purdy didn't get hurt, I thought we might be able to get two for him as well. Again, he's young, he's a rookie. I mean, you could get, somebody's going to look for him, maybe even Baltimore. And Jimmy G, I thought we might get one pick for him. Like we could really, I think we could really fill up the roster, just clearing out the QB room.
Yeah, this is crazy. So
that would have worked if Jimmy G wasn't a free agent, though. Like we should have did that last year for Jimmy, and we were too late to the team. We should have been traded Jimmy.
Well, nobody wanted him, but I thought he restructured his contract. I thought he had another year on there at the minimum.
Nah, well, it was a one-year deal.
Wasn't he a free agent when y'all picked him back up? Because or he wasn't.
Nah, he was a restricted. He was a restricted free agent. So he was a restricted free agent, meaning that we still had his rights. But we could shop him around. That's what we were trying to do, which is why we didn't invite him to camp. But then we got no bites on him. So then we were like, shit, he's still on it. So we restructured this deal to lessen our cap burden to give him this one-year deal to just play for this team today, which was a genius move because we obviously needed him at hindsight, right? But also it was kind of like, shit, well, we had this lightning in the bottle with Purdy, so did we really even need to keep Jimmy for one more year? I don't know, right? So, you know what I mean? But he's an unrestricted free agent, so he can just go. Like, Lamar's restricted, right? So the Ravens got to either franchise him, they ain't going to let him go. I don't know what you're talking about. Y'all gonna franchise him because y'all have 1 year to do so, hoping that he'll come to a consensus and sign back with y'all. And if I'm Lamar, bro, you need to get yourself an agent, sir. I don't know what you think. I mean, yo, I don't know why you representing yourself. I don't see him getting a good deal with him being sitting across from owners and shit. Like, he needs an agent. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know who's instructing him. I don't know who's advising him. But somebody needs to advise his ass to go find him a good agent. Get him a
See,
good deal.
I disagree. I'm not sure, man. The proof right now is in the pudding because he ain't signed.
Let me ask you something before you comment. Let me ask you one question and then you can go. Have you heard this man talk in the interview? Do you think he talks like he knows how to do, like he knows how to, like he knows how to negotiate a contract? Because he don't talk like that to me.
I don't judge people's Southern accents. I've heard some smart people who sound like they mumble, and it's really just because where they from, and they got millions of dollars. So I don't. I look. If you'd have told me when I came out of New Jersey, people talk like that, I'm like, oh man, he might be a little slow. But now that I've visited different places, I know a guy in Mississippi. It's always tough to understand him, man. Millionaire, just owns a bunch of property and doing the damn thing. But you talk to him, it sounds like he ain't never graduated high school. The man's got his doctorate. I think he got a doctorate and a master's. That kid bright. But I don't understand him. I don't understand. When he starts drinking, I don't understand. But I would think that it would be easy. See, it's two things that I wonder in this situation. Are the Ravens not giving Lamar his big deal because he's representing himself? Then the other flip side of that is it should be easy to negotiate Lamar Jackson's contract, because I would say, look what Deshaun Watson got. I want $1 million more because I'm better than him.
That's the problem. It should be, because I think he is looking for that. And I think the Baltimore and the Ravens, I think they're rightfully saying no. I do think there's a little bit of extra sauce on it. They're going to try to get him cheap because he doesn't have an agent. And I think because he doesn't have an agent, he's like, I don't need one. I'm going to get the max of the max. I'm going to get every little ounce I can. I think that's where we at right now, because, no, he shouldn't get the Deshaun Watson deal. Nobody should. And I say that respectfully. I mean, I don't want to say somebody shouldn't or shouldn't get it. I mean, you get what you negotiate. But that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. I think Cleveland's going to regret it. I think it's a bad deal. I mean.
Yeah, it's a horrible deal. No, and just to clarify, though, when I was talking about the interview, I'm just saying to sit across from owners. Like, he don't sound like he should be across from an owner, like trying to negotiate with a GM about how much money he's getting. I don't think he understands structuring a contract, how you front load certain things, how you can negotiate bonuses, how you can negotiate incentives. What's your style? Like, I don't think he understands any of that, right? Because he just plays football. So that's what I'm saying. For him to get the best contract, in my opinion, I think he needs to hire someone that's sat across from the table from those same things, structuring the best deal for him. Because I think that, because I forgot who else did it, and they made it all based on incentives because it was just betting on themselves. Like, and then all of a sudden,
Ricky Williams.
Yeah, and look how that shit ended. I'm going to bet on myself.
But that was,
like, come on, bro.
But that was
you. Huh?
That wasn't Ricky Williams had that deal, but he wasn't his own agent. He was
Master P.
Representing him. And Master P's son don't even like him. I got to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
I know my son's
not either way, I just think that's what Lamar's going to head down. That whole I'm a bet on myself type, and show you guys what my value is. And bro, you haven't been healthy for 4 straight years for a whole year, bro. I need you to get all your money. As a black man, I want him to get all his money. And I think the only way he does that is by hiring an agent that can make sure that he's not missing any gaps. Because they going damn sure, the team damn sure going to make sure they going to be in the best position for themselves, especially with his track record. And I think that he needs to know all those ins and outs for himself to put those incentives to, because if I'm him, I'm front loading my contract. And I think teams want you to backload that contract so they can get out of it and it just be dead space for them. But if I'm Lamar and I got knee injuries and for 4 straight years I've been hurt, you need to get all your money up front. And teams,
do you
want to because
tell
we
me? My bad, I thought you was done.
No. All I was going to say was is that I think he's just front-loaded because, you know, a lot of teams, the way they restructure it to try to get more, you know, space, they'll just backload incentives and all that other kind of stuff on the back end of your contract.
I, w-
I got so much on that because I'm kind of disappointed in what you said, but we'll get
about
to
what?
But Weezy, we'll go back into it. Weezy, do you want to jump in since this your team?
Nah, I'm out here chopping firewood. That's where I sit. So.
What the hell? You know, you live in a suburb. What do you mean chopping firewood?
Yeah, chopping wood.
You
yeah, he had a trip coming up.
Yeah, is home all right? Yo, do we need to have a therapy session? You know when you in the suburbs chopping wood, where there's only probably about, like, all those trees are probably protected by the community.
I'll send you a picture of my backyard. We had, like, five trees taken down. I'll send you a picture. But go ahead. I'll send you my guy.
Well, M Extra, and the reason why I'm disappointed is because I know how you put on for black folks and how much you love black folks and how much you want us to succeed. So I'm not putting this on you as a person, but what I'm disappointed in hearing is, okay, it's twofold to this when I think about this very quickly as we discuss it. You could be right. Lamar may not know the ins and outs of signing a good contract because he's a football player. But the thing that's disappointing is because we don't know Lamar, and maybe you do. I don't act like I know everybody you know. Maybe you've had intelligent conversations with him and you have a good judgment. Again, I know you're up there. I don't know who you know. But to judge that just because of the way he sounds, it feels a little like it's not racism because we're all black. But I feel like that's what a white person would say, and I'm not putting this on white people. Shout out to my white folks out there. But it feels like that's what a white person would say about this. Like, oh, they don't talk right, so you know they don't. And, like, that's what's disappointing hearing that because you could, like you said, you could absolutely be right. He may not know. But because we don't know, or I don't know, I'll say that. I'll put that on myself because I don't know Lamar. I've never heard him in his discussions for these contract negotiations. Yeah, he sounds country as hell, but he doesn't sound like an idiot. I mean, he's a MVP candidate of a football team, so he's got to be intelligent to get the playbook, I would think. It was a little disappointing to hear that just because of the way he sounds, you don't think he knows what he's doing. Whereas if this was Tom Brady, we would say, oh, Tom knows what he's doing. And I don't want to put that on you because you might say, hey, no football player should renegotiate the contract by themselves. Do you think that? I guess that's where I should be asking now that we're talking. Do you think no football player should represent themselves?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm saying. So the joke was is that did you see him do an interview? Because, again, I think that at a certain time, right, I would say the same thing. He don't deserve to be representing himself in a murder case either, right? Like if it's him or going to jail for life, he needs to not bet on himself, even though he can win every argument with his homeboys, right? Like there's certain things and the certain mannerisms when you're talking to a jury, they won't look at you. That's just the reality of it, right? They're going to look at everybody because the way you formulate sentences, the way you got to figure out whether you're innocent or not to flip a jury, like, yo, bro, that's not you, bro. People go to law school for that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying he's dumb. I don't know Lamar. I never met the man in Lamar. And I'm not saying the way he talks makes him an idiot. I never said that. I said, have you heard his interview? That's not a person that I want sitting across the table negotiating, you know what I mean, a contract because he plays football, right? And so an interview, when you got all these lawyers next to you and you got – I'm looking across that table. If I'm trained as a lawyer, I'm looking at a fish fresh out of water – that I'm going to start talking all this lawyer-type talk shit, and you ain't going to understand anything because all you looking at numbers. You ain't going to know any about the no indemnity clause, about no clauses that this clause says and this clause and all this millions of papers of contract. I just don't have him knowing that because he plays football. That's his job. His job isn't to know that shit. And look, if he took all this time away to learn that, I applaud him for doing it. I don't have them doing it, though. So I would say that about every football player. Every football player, I think they at baseline understand what their agent tells them what their contract is,
But if you ask anybody, I would challenge anybody in the NFL, if they knew every clause and what every clause meant, I seriously doubt there would be less than 5% of them that would know nitty-gritty of that, like minutia. Like, because at some point it becomes minutia, right, to a lot of things, right? Same thing like when you buy a house. Did you understand? Did you read all that shit? Or did you just sign where they told you the initial and shit? Like, because at some point you trust that you're going to be okay. Or if I had a lawyer, I would trust, look, I pay you to know that shit. Just like if I got an accountant question, I pay you to know that shit. I don't need to know it. But I want you to explain it to me, but I don't need to know that, right? I'm an engineer. That's all I'm saying. And so I'm saying anybody, football, whatever. I would say the same shit if I was talking about Lamar and he come, I'm going to represent myself in this murder trial. Or if it was Ray Lewis saying the same thing when he was supposed to be, you know what I mean? Ray Lewis didn't get himself off of jail. You know what I'm saying? His lawyer did. That's why he got money to pay for that shit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Ray got a lawyer because he killed that man. Hey.
That's
yo,
what
unless,
I'm saying. He got. That's what I'm saying. He didn't get himself off, right? Somebody else did. Ray should be in jail if he said that shit.
But, hey, in my defense, I win every argument against you and Blur, and when I went to court, I went against three lawyers, and I'm undefeated, baby. Never lost.
Exactly. And if your ass was up for murder and it was your ass in jail and you talking about you representing yourself, I think every last one of us is like, bro, we're going to just pay for you to go get a lawyer. We're going to get a lawyer for your ass. You're being stubborn right now. You're being stubborn, and you don't want to listen to nobody. We just buy you a lawyer, right? Ain't no way you're going to be out there on the murder trial representing yourself.
Yeah, I feel like if I went to jail, like, I would get so – I would read so many books, yo. Like, it'd be nice to be able to, like, sit down for 5 years. Like, if I could guarantee I wouldn't get raped or, like, get into a fight.
Before you do that, you
like,
can answer that.
Like, I would – like, being able to just sit down and study for 5 years – man, like the amount of Madoff hustles I would come out of jail with, man, it'd be amazing. All right, so we got done Eagles 49ers. Blur, you got anything last? Eagles 49ers or Ravens? Because we got to talk about the Kansas City game for a quick second and get to y'all predictions for the Super Bowl.
No, man, it was a disappointing game as a watch, but, you know, hats off to the Eagles. They did what they had to do.
All right. So I'll jump right back to you. Kansas City versus the Bengals. Did you watch the game? What'd you think about it? Got any thoughts, comments?
Yeah, man. I don't want to say home cooking, but it was a good game. I think Mahomes is head and shoulders the best quarterback in the league, and I think I don't want to say he's like the Jordan or LeBron effect just yet, where people just get tired of recognizing him in the art and start automatically looking for who's going to be the next person to dethrone him. But yeah, man, that dude is something special. When you realize that he lost, what, I think two top wide receivers. That's not even counting Tyreek Hill, which he lost last year, or guess not had lost this year. Yeah, man, still got it done against a team that, I mean, looked like they had his number. The defensive coordinator, not necessarily team, but the defensive coordinator that looked like it had his number. So, yeah, man, did what he had to do.
Okay. Ed Mercer, you watch the game?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it begrudgingly, I think. But to me, I'm interested in seeing the Super Bowl. I think it was the Bengals to lose everybody, but I think what the Bengals failed to realize was that Patrick Mahomes is still a good quarterback. I think, I don't know what they came in there thinking. I mean, I can see the cockiness about, you know, being in there three straight times and beating them three straight times throughout the last couple of seasons. But, yeah, there still was a game to be played. And I think that they definitely underestimated the D-line, of Kansas City. I mean, they were banged up, but shit, man. I mean, they let Chris Jones just disrupt all kinds of shit with Burrow. And so, I mean, Patty, you know, he did his thing, don't get me wrong. He made some great plays on a bum angle. I think a lot of that, some of that was over dramatized, you know. But I think that it's gonna be interesting to see him healthy, because one thing about the Eagles, as much as I, you know, hate to say it, but I mean their rush is legit, and I think that Andy's gonna have to do something with that to get Patrick outside the pocket. But man, they got a bunch of no-name people that's making plays, and so I think it's gonna be a good game. I hope it's a good game, but and what I meant by saying I hate to say it is that because it could potentially get out of hand, and I'm talking about in the Eagles' favor because of the defense and pass rush. That's one thing that once you disrupt that, I think it's gonna be a hard pass, but. You know, Kelsey's their main dude, and somehow, a way that he's always open. I don't understand how he's open so much. Like, I would legit double Kelsey and dare their receivers to cook my corners. Like, that's what I would do, because he's always open. I don't understand how he's always open, and he gets the ball all the
time.
Yeah. I would take it. I don't understand that.
Did y'all see Kelsey try to toss back the pitch? Those two times.
Yeah. Wow. No, the first one was a hook and ladder, though. The first one was a legit hook and ladder. The second one, I don't know what the hell.
No, it wasn't. So
it wasn't.
I listened to Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. They got a podcast together called New Heights, and it's actually pretty good. And as an Eagles fan, and because Jason Kelce's an old lineman. I think O linemen have the greatest personalities. I know they always talk about corners and wide receivers because all y'all are just arrogant assholes. But us O linemen are really the funny ones. Like, we have the greatest personalities because we don't get no credit for nothing. So on the podcast, he was saying that he pitched it to him just because he felt like he was open. He said he just felt it, but he threw it too low. And he said Andy came over to him and gave him a look. And he said the second time he was going to pitch it again and thought, nah, let me keep it. And he said he got laid out by Andy, like, yo, you keep the fucking ball in your hand. Stop trying to pitch it. So, like, that was Kelsey just freestyling.
Yeah, that's
which is wild,
man,
to do in the AFC Championship game. But Kelsey's he's a wild dude, though. So
yeah, I will tell you this though. Did you see the clip where Kittle asked Purdy if he was ambidextrous? Yeah.
No,
yeah,
Kittle's hilarious.
Yeah, when he got hurt, he was like, bro. He was like, you're lefty? You ambidextrous? And Purdy just like looked like with this like sad face, like, no, man. Like, you know, he like, it was crazy as shit. Like, that's a wild something to say, you know, like, somebody, because that was when he first got hurt, and then he came out, and he had it all wrapped up, that's when he said it, and, like, Purdy was already, like, you could tell he was, like, crying, which it was Ray crying, and Kittle's going to ask him if he's ambidextrous, so I thought that was the most, it was funny, but, like, you know what I mean, it's like, you know, too soon, like, right, if too soon was a person, it would be George Kittle in that moment, right?
Yeah, he's a funny, like, you need people like that in your huddle. And I think Kittle is like that for y'all. I think Travis Kelce is like that for Kansas City. Brandon Graham's like that for our defense. Mulata is like that for our offense. Like, you need dudes who, in the moment, are just still, like, just having fun. Like, it don't matter. Like, you're just going to have fun. I didn't realize how much a clown Kittle was until, like, leading up to our Eagles 49ers game. Like, you just start clicking on articles and just reading more stuff. And I was clicking a lot of stuff on the 49ers just to see how I felt about the game. And you just see, like, all the stuff he does in the huddles, and you go through, like, his mic stuff on YouTube. Like, he's hilarious. And you need guys like that, man. He's a hell of an athlete. But you got to have guys like that in the huddle just to keep it light, yo. But, man. I think,
what do you think, man? What's your analysis of the game?
The funny thing is,
nah, the Eagles,
Eagles Chiefs. I think we win by 10 or 2 touchdowns, and I'll know it early because I don't think Patrick Mahomes is really that healthy. I don't know. Like, you can see at the end of – you can see around halftime, Patrick Mahomes' ankle is really starting to bother him. And those high ankle sprains are rough. I don't know how healthy he could get in 2 weeks. 2 weeks is a great, great way to get healthy. I don't think Jalen was that healthy at the end of our 49ers game. He took a shot in his back the first quarter. I think it really affected his throws because all his throws after that deep were high. So, you know, I don't know how healthy Jalen is, but I think we're a better overall football team. But, you know, when you got like Blair said, when you got Jordan on your team, you can get beat. It'll be interesting to see how Chris Jones does against our offensive line. But after the way we played the 49ers, who I think is the second best defense behind us, I think our O-line held up pretty well. Like, I think the little stuff that the 49ers did against us was really good. Like, Bosa, as much as I hate him because he's a racist, and even not even just give Bosa credit, the entire 49ers defense. Like, that whole first quarter, they put pressure on Jalen Hurts, but still kept him in the pocket. And that's tough to do. Like, the discipline of their rush lanes was absolutely phenomenal. Like, Jalen Hurts felt pressure but couldn't leave the pocket. And he's fast. Like, Jalen is a scrambler. He can get out the pocket on most teams and make teams pay. There were plenty of times that we were running the RPO, and cats like Bosa would fool Jalen to say, yeah, go ahead, keep it, I'm going to hit you. Okay, you're going to give it to Miles, I'm going to hit him too. And he couldn't figure it out until probably about the middle of that second quarter on our real long drive where we got a couple good runs in and a couple good RPOs in. But for the most part, Jalen couldn't scramble on that 49ers defense because they were so disciplined and because they were doing really well against my O-line. They weren't dominating them, but it was still a little more uncomfortable than Jalen ever is. I don't think we'll get that with Kansas City. I think Chris Jones is good. I think he'll be a factor, but I don't think anybody else will pressure our quarterback like the 49ers did. I don't think their DBs are any – I mean, that's the thing about the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you're going to have to score 30 to beat them, but their defense will give up 30. And our offense is good enough to drop 30. But I think our defense is good enough to make them only score 20, if that even sounds like a victory. Kelce against my linebackers, of course Kelce wins that all day. But I think now that Maddox is back healthy, it kind of puts someone who can cover, who's big enough to cover a tight end. Like you said, you got Jordan out there. It's going to be tough. But I honestly think my team is so well built from top to bottom. I just think we have more talent than every other team in the league. And sometimes talent just wins. I think this will be one of the years that my team wins it simply off of talent. I don't think we have the best scheme. I don't think we have, you know, the greatest football players ever, but I think top to bottom, we got really lucky with being healthy at the end of the year. Where Kansas City's coming in pretty banged up. Like, even Kelce almost didn't play in the AFC Championship. So, but I think it'll be a good game either way. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to a field goal and we lose. I wouldn't be surprised if we're up 14-21 in the fourth quarter trying to run it out. So, but, you know, it's football, man. The moment might be too big for Jalen. You know, that's one thing that no one really talked about with the Eagles 49ers. Like, Jalen didn't play great. He missed some open wide receivers. Like I said, the Devontae touchdown. It was an okay ball, but it wasn't a great ball. And we got lucky on the call. But it wasn't like he threw a dime and Devontae dropped it. Like, Devontae would have had to make a hell of a catch to pull that off. His underneath and his short routes were all on money, though. So you know, on those three long drives we had against the 49ers, we threw a lot of intermediate passes, and they were good. But the two wide open touchdowns that we had with AJ Brown, he missed. And in the Super Bowl, I don't think you can miss that. So we'll see, though. We'll see, though. Either way, like you said, man, if you'd have told, I never thought, I thought my Eagles team was going to be good this year because I knew we had some talent. When we got A.J. Brown, I was like, oh, we could be, if Devontae Smith's our number two with Miles Sanders, we could be real dangerous. Did I think my team was good enough to go to Super Bowl in August? No, I didn't think we'd make that leap. So, either way, I'm happy, man. Either way, I'm happy. Of course, I want my team to win a second Super Bowl so I can go to the parade, take my son up. I'm rooting for the win, but, you know, it's been a good season. It's been a good football year for my Eagles, man. No complaints. But I think we win by 10. I think we win by 10 to 14. Anybody know the over-under? I think we're favored by 3.
Yeah, I don't know that. But, yeah, but your analysis is absolutely where I was going with. I said, I hate to say it, but it could get ugly because I just think that, one, Chris Jones is not an edge rusher. I felt like that's why I also was like, yo, y'all wasn't even watching the first quarter when y'all talking about the 49ers not being the number one. Like, we came out, even with the fumble, even with that, like, we had y'all, and I mean, you know, y'all doing that dumbass wedge shit, like y'all playing peewee football, but it's effective.
Yo, stop
right?
Hating on
my so mad when people,
yo.
Yo, I used to hate that when people used to do that in Little League, yo. But y'all do that joint like little wedge joint, man. I hate that joint. But you gotta think about it. Like that was a fourth down. Y'all converted like 3 fourth downs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like that's not an easy task by no means. Now you got the offense to get the conversions, you know what I mean? But at the same time, like if people really looked at that first quarter, that was representative of what that game should have been. A tug of war, a back and forth. Like, because even McCaffrey's run, bro, he was supposed to be knocked in the background. I mean, the backfield.
Yeah.
I mean, that he,
I was
I mean,
so
he just,
that,
he just
you know?
Yeah, I mean, he broke two tackles to get that jump. You know what I'm saying?
He broke two tackles, jumped over somebody, shook somebody else. That was one of the most, I mean, because y'all lost the game so bad, I mean, I'm not saying that as a shot, but I'm just saying because it wasn't like a tightly closely contested game. Like, that's one of the best runs I've ever seen in my life, yo. That boy is bad, yo. I couldn't believe he pulled that shit off. I was so mad at my team, yo.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. And so to me, like, just going back to the Super Bowl, like, it's going to take, like, those type of efforts on Kansas City. And I'm like, who's going to get – I mean, like I said, they got some young up-and-coming people, but it ain't no, like, Tyreek Hill just breaking 80 yards because you faster than everybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't go into that game and, like, you know, like even with leading up with the NFC Championship, when you put your stars on paper – and you put our stars on paper, you saw playmakers. You saw legit, like, these dudes can go, right? Like, just respect. Just, like, respect, right? Depending on who site you was on, because it's like, oh, ones, twos, or number one gets number one, you know what I mean? Yeah, whatever, right? And then it was like, oh, we beat you on O-line. But at the end of the day, matchups, you saw the matchups. And you'd be like, yo, that's a tough. But when you do that same shit, besides the quarterback, I'll give Miles over it because I don't even know who Kansas City running back really is. And then you go to, like, O-line, D-line. Like, I don't see it. I don't see the – you know what I mean? Like, I don't see, like, the matchups that they can really win and exploit. But Andy's a good coach, so it's going to be – you know what I mean? They might pull something out of their hat, but I just don't see that, right? So I'm trying to figure out how they're going to find ways to score. It's going to take a heroic effort from Patty and Kelsey. And I say Patty mostly because he has to be the one to get these young people, like, and put them in opportunities and create space that's going to allow them to kind of use their speed. Otherwise, man, you know, y'all might – it might be ugly.
by time.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping for a blowout and God willing, I get on this plane and we be partying in Arizona with the Super Bowl Eagles fans.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. All right, man. Well, we only got about, man, time flies when you're talking sports. So, M, actually, you missed a couple of weeks, man. I don't know what was wrong with your phone last week. Anything yeah. particular you want to talk about tonight?
Nah, man, not nothing in particular. Oh, well, kid, did y'all talk about the Memphis stuff last week?
Nah, we didn't get into that yet.
Now, I don't know if y'all saw, but that's the only thing I can think of.
We can talk about it. I mean, it's a tough subject. Well, go ahead and introduce it.
It is a tough subject. My thoughts are this: all five were, well, no, I wouldn't say all five, but the dude who was kicking him when he was locked up, when they finally got him locked up, this is the second video. The dude that was just stomping him when they already had him in handcuffs, you a bitch. He's a whole bitch. The dude that when they stood him up and just, you know what I mean, try to KO him, you know what I mean? You're a whole bitch. And then the second dude that did this, tried to do the same thing, you're a whole bitch too. Because at the end of the day, the dude was like, he was in handcuffs. And you out here kicking, and then you unathletic ass almost tripped. Like, I was like, bro, yo, be an athlete out here. How you going to stop somebody that you almost fall? And then you out here taking breaks like you was out here in a real fight, nigga? Like, come on, bro. Like, your butt just gets split open in jail. Like, you deserve something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's an idiot. And then the other dude, like, what makes you think, and you can't even KO him. You can't even knock this man out. You had a free shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a worth of a punch. Your ass need to get split open too, like all of them. Like yo, that's what I'll say. And then with the third thing I would say is it's a damn shame because of young cops. It was a unit that was supposed to be attacking crime and drugs in Memphis. I've been to Memphis a couple times. I didn't know how crazy that shit was. That shit is a wild ass city. I did not know,
yeah,
you know
like,
what I mean, what it was until I went there. And I think that it's a representative of $28 million. You got to think about it. They paid $28 million to stand up this team to do good work, and now you got some bad apples that's going to make it look like taxpayer money got wasted because we're not going to focus on any good. We're not going to focus on anything that they did or may have done good because now it's disbanded, and now it looks like it was a waste of taxpayers' money because of this situation, which that sucks. And my last point is that the news media, if you think about it, I don't want this news media to be, and they're doing it already, but I'm hoping everybody that's in the earshot of me, if they're going to talk about it, they show them officer uniforms. Don't be showing those mug shots where they're just in plain clothes, right? It's two distinct images. When you see the five, when they're in their police uniforms, you see police officers, right? The media has switched from that image to the five mugshots. And the difference is now they look like five black dudes, just five regular black dudes that did this, as opposed to five officers. And I want the conversation to stay around how we address policing in the United States. And that image is how we address policing. Because if I'm looking and I don't know shit about the Tyrese case, and I just see these five black people, and then I see the video, and it's like five thugs that beat up this dude, because that's what you're showing me. And I know that they had to do with some media spin to be like, yo, take that police shit off and start throwing up this other image. But I need that to be flipped and people to keep showing that five officer image so we can keep the forefront of the conversation around justice and policing.
Okay. Blur, you got anything?
Now, I will say I haven't watched the video. I really don't even have a desire to watch the video. I think I know enough from the reports and from everybody talking about it, what's in it. Yeah, kind of where MX left off is where my mindset on the whole thing, like the media coverage of it. And I guess when I say media coverage, it's, you know, the internet or whatever, it's all kind of it's the echo chamber of your own creation. So you see what you want to see. That said, I have been seeing, and I don't know, what I expected, a lot of spin and spin and spin, and you got the Jason Whitlock and his clown ass, you got the Bill Maher and his clown ass, you got Tucker Carlson, all these people, man, it's just disgusting to see people act like this. It's disgusting what happened, I mean, black or white, but, you know, in this situation, just police just killing somebody, man, it's always disgusting. It's more so disgusting in this situation because it is five people, like, on just a skinny dude. Like, it was just so over the top and unnecessary. And again, I haven't even seen the video, but just thinking about it and the parts I did see, like, when people start talking about it, but it's disgusting. And then the media coverage coming after it's also disgusting. Problem is, I don't know if it's like, it don't end. Like, that's the sad part. It just don't end.
Okay. New York, you got anything?
No, I think my sentiments echo what everybody else is saying right now. I did watch the video. It was definitely disturbing for me. And then just knowing that he was just like, I don't know how many yards away he was from his house right there, and that just happened right there from his family house. It's sad, for real. It's sad. And then it's kind of sad that we go through this same type of topic or same type of situation over and over again, and there's still no end to it.
80 yards away from us.
Yeah. Weezy, you got anything? Or are you still chopping wood?
Yeah, I do. So, three topics, and the last one is the one main one I want to talk about, but I just want to mention the others quickly. One, they better be found guilty. I like how they were prosecuted, like you were saying, John. Earlier, I like how they were prosecuted quick, but they better be found guilty, and they better get a sentence deserving of what they did. Also, I did watch the video, and I counted more than five police officers at the scene. They kept keeping on the low, but one more officer was relieved of duty, but they won't comment on whether or not it's suspended with pay or without pay. The last thing I want to talk about is, Esther, you said it, this gentleman was 80 yards from his house. What if he had a concealed carry permit on him, okay? Would you try and protect yourself if that was happening to you? Or, which I think is more possible, if I know my son or daughter's on the way home, I'm looking out for him. If I heard something like that going on, first of all, I can pop from 80. You know, that ain't nothing. But I'm going down there to see what's going on, you know. So I feel like with what's going on in the political climate like this and the police, do we as citizens have the right to protect ourselves from everyone, including the police? I'll leave that question out there.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's a tough video to watch, tough circumstance. It's a lot of legs that go into it. You know, like I said, I was discussing this with a couple of different people, and it's just like, you know, I try to take the emotions out of it by, you know, because anytime something like this happens, you're like, yo, what if this happened to my son? What if it just happened to one of my boy's kids, or, you know, like, how would I react? And I start getting, like, you know, irritated and agitated because, you know, like Weezy was just saying, like, you can't – if I know my son on his way home and I hear all this police and I look outside, and I see a bunch of police officers stomping my kid out, they going to get these shots. And we just got to figure it out from there. So, I try to take the emotion out of it and just look at the situation, right? in the George Floyd case, we were upset in the Castillo case and, you know, some in the Brittany case. Or, yeah, her name is Brittany, right? I don't want to fuck her name up. So my apologies, Shorty. Rest in peace. Like, we were upset.
Brianna.
Brianna, there you go. Thank you. That these atrocities happened, and then it was like the police were trying to cover it up. And it wasn't until we saw the video that we were like, nah, yeah, what you mean like they still working? Like, this is fucked up. And then things were taking place. Even if we didn't agree with the cops getting off, at least they were put to trial. But it felt like it was a cover-up first, and we were angry about it as a people because it's like, yo, this should have never been covered up. So when this case happened or when this murder happened, I was like, thank you, because – you know, the murder happened January 7th, and it's now February 2nd, and they have been fired and put in jail and charged with murder. So I'm like, oh, that's less than, that's less than a month. Like, somebody saw this video and reacted immediately. We knew that they were charged with murder before we saw the video. Now I'm pretty sure people in Memphis had heard about what happened and all that stuff, but I was like, yo, that's progress. And then somebody was like, well, do you think that if they were white cops that did this, they would have been charged the same way? And it's like, damn, we got to really think about that. And it's like, am I now upset that, yo, y'all not even letting the black cops get any leeway? Like, you have those thoughts. It's like, yo, it's fucked up. Like, no, they shouldn't get any leeway. They just murdered this kid. But the only reason why they not get leeway is because they're black. And then, like, there was the white guy on the camera who was saying, if I'd have called him, and I was like, man, this is why, you know, these officers need to be in shape. And it's like, yeah, he was on film saying, yeah, if I called him, you know, I would have stomped him out too. I hope they stomp his ass. He needs to be fired. He wasn't there to hit him, so he shouldn't be. Oh, he was fired?
Yeah, that was the one that Brandon said. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They fired him. They fired him too. And then they fired the first responders that
the medical.
Late.
Yeah. But so it's that angle of it, and it's like, yo, should I be mad that they're treating these black cops differently than they do these white cops? But of course, I say no. Man, they treated for murder. Like, everybody should be treated like this. But then I think to myself, just in the grand scope of it, like, they put this Scorpion unit gang together or unit Scorpion unit together to fight drugs and the high crimes. Like, was this kid associated with drugs or anything? Why were they even stopping him? Shouldn't a Scorpion unit be in the project somewhere? Why are they even fucking with this kid? And that didn't make sense to me. Like, why are you hired fight high crime areas? Go ahead.
And one point to remember, everybody always tries to look for the bad side of the victim. But the point is, even if this dude was selling drugs or doing something, why would that be the extent to where you go? You know, why would you do that? It's not their job to murder someone. Definitely not in that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even arguing for that point. I'm just saying, from what, and MX, correct me if I'm wrong, and whoever else read it, they stopped this man because they said his driving was erratic. So it was a traffic stop. But why is this Scorpion unit on traffic stops? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Then, of course, I saw the internet rumors that this dude was fucking homeboy baby mama, and that's what this was about. I don't know how true that is. You know, rumors fly. It's not true?
No.
Well, that's
and for disclosure, we have an entire person at that works in Memphis PD.
You said what? Say that one more time?
I said As full disclosure, there's an inside person that I know that's in the Memphis PD. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, so that rumor isn't the rumor.
Oh, I thought you was about to drop some news on us. I was like, yo, we out of here, yo. We about to get sponsored by DraftKings and Life Wallet. You was ready to tell
me. Nah, we could.
He's about to get the sponsorship.
Yeah, right, exactly. Nah, he get. I don't want to put him out of it like that, but I'm just saying, that's not true, though. But it makes sense, though. I'll tell you what, though. At first, I was sitting here like, bro, that makes all the way sense because he's 80 yards. How did he not make it home? How did they know where to go? That was a neighborhood, bro. And nobody chased him. All they said was, he wearing this. Yo, he knew where he was going because he was 80 yards from his home. So how the fuck did they know to go right there? How did they catch him right there? It's crazy to me how that happened. So I was thinking like, shit. He knew him. He knew exactly who he was because he worked for with his ex. So he had to see him before, had to say something, and then now he just kind of like flexing and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I think the story made all the sense. You know what I mean? Because why else do you stop him? And where is that video? Where is the video of the initial stop? Why don't we see him driving erratic anywhere? Did anybody see that? Did I miss that?
No.
Look,
it's not funny, but it's kind of coincidence because I'm talking to this story about a bunch of different people, getting their thoughts, and I got a buddy who lives in Germany, and he spent a month in Thailand, so I know what he was doing. He's wilding out, right? And he was telling me, you know, we correspond a lot by email and all that stuff. He's one of the few people that I still email. He was telling me about his time in Thailand. He was like, "Yo, I was out there, and at one point, like we were walking into a bar, and this dude gets thrown out the bar, and these dudes are just beating his ass." Because I was talking to him about this, and he was like, "They was just beating his ass," and I was like, "Yo, man, they're gonna kill him." And like we had to kind of step back for a second, and then like the little bouncer was like, "Yo, just come in this side, just come in this side." He was like, "But no one was stopping the dude getting beat." And I was like, damn, that shit's crazy. I was like, did he die? He's like, no. The funny thing is he came into the bar and sat directly next to me. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, so what'd you do? He's like, yo. He's like, I had to ask. He's like, I wasn't sure if he spoke English or not. But I asked him if he was okay and can I get him a beer. And he's like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I asked him. He's like, yo, why were they beating you so bad? He was like, he was all bloodied up and all this stuff. He's like, but they let him sit at the bar. Because I was like, yeah, you had to be in a wild bar for somebody to get their ass whipped, and then they let him in all bloody and stuff, and they just let him chill in there. He's like, yeah, it's a little different out there. And I was like, so what'd he say? He's like, yeah, I owed him 25. And I was like, 2,500? That's, I was like, oh, I can't kind of understand that. He's like, no, he said 25,000 American. I said, oh, yeah, you got to let him get his ass whipped for that. Like, you can't help nobody out. Somebody leave $25,000? So I'm not trying to make it light of the situation, but, like, that's the only thing I thought about with that beat. I was like, yo, he had to either owe the cops drugs or money. And I don't know if we'll ever find it out. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. But I looked at that video and thought, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Even the cops, like, one of them had to say, yo, why are we doing this? Because he was never a threat.
Never. Brought him out. Like, and here's the thing. When they first stopped, when the video actually showed out, they were already on 100. They were literally on 100. They opened the door and yanked him out the car. Like, what did he do for you to just guns drawn, yell and get the hell out the car? Like, what you didn't see, he had no weapons on him, so you couldn't have saw that. Right? Because that would make sense. You could have saw him maybe, like, throw something out the car or something, right? Maybe that makes sense, but not really. Like, what could have risen to that level on a regular traffic stop for you to come with three of them, yelling like that? Like, that's what I can't reconcile that. I don't know what would stop, like, you know what I mean? And then, why don't you ever tell him why the hell you getting stopped? Because that's what you said. Yo, what did I do? And you don't say shit? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what? At what point do we not, like, I think cops think that we don't get a chance, like, we can't ask them anything. Like, they want to be, like, King Dick and shit, right, all the time. And then, like, how dare us ask them, well, what the hell did we do wrong? Because that is, like, no, it's like against all, like reasoning and shit. Like, you know what I mean? And so then I think about, like, so what if one of them were in that situation? And I, you know what I mean? The first thing they would ask is, yo, why am I getting pulled over? They would ask the same goddamn question that they're not even willing to ask. Like, it was crazy. I don't get it.
This is why I don't talk to cops, bro. I get pulled over a lot. They're like, you know why I pulled you over? Nope. And I just stare at them. I don't even ask why. Nope. Just, but I'm in a privileged position, yo. Just give me a ticket, yo. Let me get the fuck on my way, yo. One, I'm going to fight you in court. Two, I can pay for it. But... yeah, it's a shame, man. Blair, you got anything else?
No, man. It's just sad, like I said before. Unfortunately, we all know it ain't going to be the last time we have this discussion.
But this is about – okay, let me ask you. Let me go round table. New York, I'll start with you. Do you think race plays a part? Because I saw we all saw the Memphis mayor say, hey, race isn't a part of this, so don't add it. And then people got on her ass. Do you think there's any race? Does this have to deal with race at all in your mind, New York?
I think 100%. Like, I can't like literally ignore the race factor. And it's no matter if it was like five black cops or if it's five white cops. At the end of the day, people got their own stereotypes about. The community of African Americans. So I really can't, especially if you're in a neighborhood like that, or if you're in a sting operation, you know, you got like a police division that's like a group unit to police a project area. I can't ignore the race in that.
Okay.
To be honest.
Okay. Weezy, you think race plays anything in this video? Plays a role? Sorry, I missed the whole word.
I think it does, but more so, I actually agree with you were saying, Beach Bum Gun. I feel like there's something going on that we don't know about yet. I don't know if I'm not a conspiracy theorist type person, but either something's going to come out in this trial or it's some type of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein type shit. Like, I don't know what would be like. That just doesn't happen. And again, why wouldn't they just shoot him? But, you know, doing something, it's like, were they paid to do it? Did the man have a hit out on him? I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm more on that side.
Weezy, you think race played a role in this?
Like I just said, man.
I'm not Weezy. I'm sorry, Blur.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, it does. I mean, and I think the easiest way to I don't want to say to show that or to justify my opinion that that's true is I need to see the video of them reacting the same way to a non-black person. This wasn't their first day on the job. This wasn't their first stop. They've probably been on the job for a while, so an elite unit or whatever. So they've had other stops. They've arrested other people. They've stopped other people. Why did this one end this way as opposed to it ending this way with another race?
It's Memphis. I don't know if there's any white people in there. It's Memphis. It's black on black.
85% black.
It's white people in Memphis, too.
Yeah, I didn't see them. No, I saw them working at the bars on, what is that, Butte Street? What is that street?
Beale
Street, there you go.
Can I say one thing?
Let me go to MX real quick. Let me get his opinion. I'll come right back to you.
Okay.
Fix your phone, too. MX, do you think race played a factor?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but it had to, right? Because because the thing about it is that the way they stopped him, there's no other reason for you to, you know, be on 100 like that if it wasn't, right? And then the second thing is I think that originally I was not of that mindset. I thought it was just like kind of like, you know, I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. But I think it had to play because of the Scorpion unit and the area that they traffic, right? And so if the white people going in there to buy the drugs, I know who they are, right? And if I'm trying to get the pictures, then that's got to be in an 85% black community, a black person. So, of course, I'm going to try to, you know, play that card when I can. Or stops or whatever.
What you get? Oh, my bad. Y'all pauses make me think you're done. I hope y'all don't think I'm trying to cut y'all off. Weezy. Oh, go ahead. One more thing. What you got?
No. I said I was done.
You said one more thing. Weezy, what you got? You fix your muffled voice? Yo, it sounds like you're being kidnapped, you know? It sounds your wife got you in one of them S&M masks and you're like talking through the app.
I wish. At this point, is this better?
Yeah, you good now.
Okay. So I know you were just talking about percentages. How is 85%, you know, black, whatever. And just to throw back to another conversation about Lamar, the reason he's representing himself is because he gets to keep 100%. So if you get an agent, that's 20%. So basically, let's say your risk is 15%. You may get 15% less than you normally would. You're at least getting 100% of that. So just keep that in mind. But also about this Memphis situation, if you read an article, there was a guy who interviewed with the news and said he got pulled over by those five guys, thrown out of his car, and they were like, where the drugs at? We know you got a pound in the car. And he was like, what are you talking about? I don't even drive. I'm walking. I walk to the store. And then they were like, yeah, we were just playing. We messing with you. Go ahead. And it was like, what the fuck? And then he's like, literally, it was like a month later, he saw their same faces on the news. So just like all the white cops have done it before, just imagine how many other times they've done stuff like this.
And that's where, what the hell? Hey, watch your background noise. Who opened the door? And that's where, again, I have these, like, conflicting thoughts. Because at first it's like, all right, we can't blame race in this, right? Because it's black on black. It's sad as that is. As more disappointed as I am, shout out to my white folks out there. But, you know, to see black people treat other black people this way is gut-wrenching for me, right? I just hate to see it. Like, it bothers my soul. But I'm like, all right, well, we can't blame white people for this one. You can't do it. But then you go into the deeper thought world of, and again, I don't want to blame white people. I'm not here for that. This is how I think in my head. Did they treat this black kid like this because we've seen decades of white people treating black people like this and they felt like nothing would happen to them? Hey, watch y'all background noise.
My bad.
Did these black people feel like they could treat this black kid like this because we've seen black people get treated like this for hundreds of years? And if that's the case, then race 100% plays a factor. I think as I thought it out, it has more to do with power. You know, it don't really matter what race you are. If you got power, as flawed as humans are, you're probably going to abuse that power. There's very few of us, and I say us because I really think if you give me all the power in the world, I wouldn't bother nobody. I think I just have that type of personality. Like, I'd still just be cracking jokes and all that other stuff. But, I mean, you never know until you get it. So I wonder if this is more of like a classism issue. Do these police officers in this Scorpion unit, I'm pretty sure they don't live in the neighborhood that they're patrolling. I'm pretty sure they get, if this was like a $20 million
project paid by the community, like MX was saying. I'm pretty sure they get, I'm pretty sure they're six-figure salary cops, probably patrolling people who don't make $15,000. So is this more of a classism issue, or is this a, nah, we know this is how we treat poor black folks in drug-infested neighborhoods. Because we've seen it done before, and we've seen people get off, so why can't we do it? Turns out it's because you're black. You can't do it. So, I don't know, man. It's always those tough, like, I mean, God rest that kid's soul and his family. Unless you're telling me he was out here raping kids or something, he ain't deserve that, you know. And it's just a shame that I just don't understand. And I hate to be this person because I got friends of cops. It takes certain type of people to become a cop, you know.
Yep.
Like, I don't know nobody who, well, I can't say that because I know cops, but the type of personality you need to be a cop is a little different. So, like I said, we ain't got to harp on it too long, but, you know, I'm actually wanting to talk about it, so. Y'all got anything else on the subject? Y'all can just jump in. If not, we can move on because I got one other quick topic before we jump off.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, good.
Yo, so me and Blair was talking earlier, yo. If one of your ex-girlfriends tells you you can't fuck her friend, are y'all listening? Blair, you go. Oh, no, I know Blair's the answer. New York, New York, you go.
What you mean?
Hold on.
What you mean? Like, what you mean,
yeah,
I can't? You my ex. What you mean I can't? What you mean I can't? We not together no more. Everything is. It, look, I'm saying, look, there's a guy code and there's a girl code, right? If your friend, if you are my ex and your friend don't earn it, honor the girl code that you abiding by, like, no, that's free game. What are you talking about? What? No.
Nah.
You can't talk that shit to me. You can't talk that shit to me.
So you fucking your ex's friends?
100%. 100%. Look. All consensual, though. All consensual, though. 100% all consensual.
Yeah, nothing is implied with rape. Everything implied is consensual. Both adulting parties want to participate. M extra. What's the rule? You fucking your ex's friends?
If given the opportunity, time and place, brother. Time and place. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's. I didn't know there was a rule. I guess. I mean,
okay.
I got the guy code.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the guy code. But you know what? This is what I would say, honestly. It would depend on the level of friend.
Okay, so
like
yeah,
if it's your
so
best
let
friend,
me,
no.
Hold on, MX. Let me reframe it because I'm being unfair to Blur because I framed it wrong, right? And I recognize that now. If you're still cool with your ex and she says she doesn't want you to fuck her friend, are you still fucking her?
Okay. I got to ask a question.
Cool. You're not fucking with her anymore.
Not you just cool with her. And this is like her girl that she know and she knows that like her girl likes you or something and she's like, "Look, is that the conversation? Like I know she likes you. You can't fuck her."
It's her friend from back in the day.
Right. And she's like, "I know you did it. You can't fuck her." Right? Like that's the kind of like the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Nah, she got no say in that, buddy. No say in that. She can't tell me who I'm fucking.
I 100% agree with that. She don't got no say in that. She don't got no say in that. I mean, if me and you not fucking, you my ex, this, that, and the third, and your friend like me like that, you know what I mean? It's, man, say what? What?
Okay.
We grown adults at the end of the day. Oh. We grown adults at the end of the day.
Weezy, what you got?
I say the same thing. You got the bro code, but other than that, if it's a friend and I'm cool with the ex, I'll say I wouldn't go after it. But if it's the other way around and she coming after me, then, you know, nothing you can do about that. You got to take what you can get. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't pursue it if it was like that. But if it's the other way around, that's a done deal.
Blur, what you got?
All right, so let's be clear. You are misrepresenting the situation. So let me say what it is first. Well, you know, to answer your question, no, I would not. No, she does. The friend doesn't have a say, the ex, she doesn't have a say. But at my big old age, I'm not trying to deal with those problems. That comes with problems. You're going to lose a friend, and you're breaking up a friendship between two women. So I don't really want to deal with it. I ain't trying to deal with that. But the actual scenario was, you just said, the ex said you can't fuck her friend. What she really was saying is, don't pursue my friend. See, by saying don't fuck, meaning the friend has already expressed interest and the fucking is on the table. It's just there for you to take it if you want. So really, they may not even be friends, or at least the friendship may be one-sided. And you're being asked not to do anything with that. So I can understand y'all saying, yeah, I'm going to still fuck. That's your friend. She want to fuck me. I'm a fucker. That's not necessarily the situation. The ex said, don't pursue my friend.
Why did you say that? Jump in on your friend? Yeah, I got to jump in. Yeah, why, though? Answer the why, though, and then go ahead. And then New York, you go. Yeah, like, why did she say don't pursue your friend? Her friend.
No, she want to.
Well, I think, specifically, okay. I could say in that situation, the ex still had feelings, so she obviously thought there could still be something between me and her. But I guess because even if it wasn't still feelings, she probably felt the way like, yo, you and me used to get it in or still kind of was getting it in, and now you're just going to go start dealing with my bestie? I can understand a woman not wanting that.
Okay. Now, full disclosure, and we only got about 2 minutes. Nah, I don't want to say that. Never mind. Y'all go ahead.
Well, just let New York carry it out there, because that's what he was ready to say. He was ready to talk anyway.
Yeah, because, like, I need a full disclosure, because if you my ex, I don't have no ties to you. So if your friend want to get with me or just, like, not even try to get with me and sex is on the table, then what? Like, what? I'm gonna play the hand that's dope, but if you talking about like, hold up, Shorty is me and Shorty is cut off, right? Her friend, you know what I mean, doing whatever she gotta do, whatever. Boom. The opportunity presents itself between me and the Shorty. That's her friend. I have no ties to you after you're my ex. At the end of the day, especially if me and you are not fucking no more. So if me and the Shorty, that's your friend, that's supposed to be your friend, she's supposed to have a girl code, whatever. Whatever that girl code is, don't apply to me. So if she come to me on some rah-rah shit and I'm a single man, most definitely. We ain't got no ties together with my ex.
But Blur's saying that she says she doesn't want you to pursue her. So would you pursue her if you was like, yo, I think I can hit that? Would you try to pursue her? Or because she asked you not to pursue her, you wouldn't do it?
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't got no ties to the ex. So, I mean, what is the ex doing over there? What is the ex doing there? Yeah, I think that's the main question. What is the ex doing over there? Is she pursuing somebody else? Why can't I pursue somebody else?
What if she already pursued one of your friends and it was cool?
I'm taking the opportunity, sir. I'm taking up deal or no deal. Deal or no deal.
See, when I had this conversation with Blur, I was like, yo, I don't understand it, because
Like, it's all love. Like, we all adults. It's 50-50. Like, if she messed with one of your friends prior, and, like, it wasn't like she was just out there doing whatever. Like people really fuck with her. Like, she's dope as a motherfucker. Like, you know, like, full disclosure. She cool as a fan, dope as hell. It's a reason why cats fucked with her. Like, she's a pretty girl, great personality. So if she fucked with one of your friends, why can't you fuck, like, why is she putting limitations on you saying that you can't fuck one of her friends? I just thought that was unfair.
And to clarify further, my point was, just because I think it's okay for her to fuck with my friend, we're men, and I'm cool with that. Just because I'm cool with that don't mean she has to be cool with that same arrangement. What's good for the goose ain't always good for the gander. I don't care if she goes fucks with her because my feelings for her weren't like that. She cares because she cared more. So I respect that.
All right.
Okay.
Man, we could have spent another 30 minutes on this, but we got out here. We only got 2 minutes. But it was a funny conversation, y'all. I just believe in equality. I feel like if a man can do
Absolutely.
It, a woman can do it. So hey, what
yeah,
is good
I'm a,
is
I'm
good. You. So, all right, man, we got to get out of here, man. Good show, man. Glad to have all y'all on. Had a good conversation tonight. Homeboy home alone. I'll let y'all know if I come up to Maryland tomorrow. I'll shoot y'all a text to let y'all know where I'll be at. See what y'all getting into. Other than that, man, y'all have a good night. Weezy, you got anything to say before we roll?
Stock market's down. Put your money in the market if you got it. For having me on the show.
Sounds good. MX, what you got?
Peace, love, and happiness.
I thought it was nappiness.
Nah, happiness.
Us
boys.
Blur, what you got?
You know, everybody ain't on the same footing. We see that in Memphis. We see that with men and women. Just because I'm cool with you fucking around don't mean you're going to be cool with me fucking around, man. Everybody got to operate under their guidelines and rules. Good for the goose ain't always good for the gander.
See, that's why cops feel like they can beat black people up and not Jewish people. Because we all different rules. We got to be equal, my brother. Equality for all. Michael Jackson. What was that song? I don't know. All right, New York, floor is yours.
Yeah, rest in peace to the beloved Black King that lost his life. Condolences out to his family and everything else. Other than that, look, I respect God code, but girl code don't apply to me. So, I mean, you come my way, hey, it is what it is. Other than that, I'm glad the show is back. We having a conversation. Look. I look forward to it next week.
All right, fellas, man. Until next week. Yo, fuck these hoes. And hoes, fuck you too. All right. Everybody in bed. What's up?